is Offstage and On the Air, Performance 319. I'm Nicole Shiro, sitting in for our awesome Lisa Sheps. Today I'm along with co-host Alex Alford, apprentice Kieran Hunter, and guest engineer Tracy Schultz. You're listening to KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 and KOOP.org. Each week we take a look at theater from many angles. If it's theater, it's Offstage and On the Air. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
On nights.
It's Wednesday, like July 22nd. Today we have an awesome, spectacular hour with Zach Theater and their production of Sophisticated Ladies. And of course, we'll have lively discussions including the news and views from the world of theater from Austin, New York, and beyond. I couldn't think of any other cities today that were exciting. Stay with us. Feel on the verge. Could you hear that? Did anyone hear that? Y'all didn't hear what was playing.
What was playing?
Did you hear that?
Yes.
Kieran heard that. I played an awesome version from Hedwig. I played Alan Cumming singing Wig in a Box.
Wow. Hey.
Yeah, I know.
He never did that show, though, did he?
No, he didn't. He actually has it on his last album. I forget what album that's called. I Bought a Blue Car Today.
Ooh.
That's what the album's from. And it's actually a combination. It's that song with Wicked Little Town.
Nice.
So I have a great album. I was saying before the show, it's called Wig in a Box, and it's a compilation of different artists singing all the songs from Hedwig. And I couldn't find my copy of it, and I couldn't find a copy online to buy another one, and I was very upset. Spoon, Austin's own Spoon's on it. Cyndi Lauper's on it. It was really awesome. I cannot remember what they were raising money for, but it was for something. There was a reason that they did this, but it was awesome.
Nice.
But there was a reason I played that. Does anyone know why I played that today?
Why did you play that, Nicole?
Because today, the one, the only most beautiful creature and talented man, Mr. Taye Diggs, joins as Hedwig.
Oh, and Nicole likes her the Taye Diggs.
Okay, I love me the Hedwig, first of all. But then when you put that with it, oh. So I found this awesome little clip of an interview, and I'm going to see. Let's play a little bit of that.
Your word here, you're the first chocolate Hedwig.
Yeah. Yes. So you know, along with that comes you know, humility and pride and excitement. So you know, we've changed up a little bit of you know, the normal Hedwig's kind of backstory to make it fit. There'll be a lot of chocolate up on that stage, because Rebecca is of a certain flavor as well, so it's an exciting time.
I love him so much. So, did you hear what he said? He said that they're going to be changing up the script a bit, because he was talking about bringing his chocolateness to Hedwig, and there's going to be a lot of chocolate on stage, because Rebecca's also chocolate like him. And he was talking about how, because of that, they're changing a lot of the script. They also, more in the interview, you'll hear Stephen Trask talking about how they changed a lot of the orchestrations and composition.
Wow.
So I'm even more curious than I was before, because it was a big change from the Jane Street Theater, and how will you write this to go into the Belasco? I didn't know if it'd work. I was wrong. It works. It works with every man that's played the part so far. So I just think this is even more exciting. And we'll have to put the clip online on our website, offstageonair.com. They ask him about his nail polish, and he got very excited to let everyone know he just went to MAC and bought his first lipstick.
Oh, and he looks great on the video.
And
makes up nicely.
He was very, very, very excited to go home and try it on and see where he could go with that. So there's been a lot of really good stuff. He said the heels have been the hardest part, but I would feel like the heels, I don't know. I have four gentlemen in front of me. Have you ever put heels on stage before? Anyone?
No. I wore cowboy boots that were really high in a show once, but that was it.
Would you be a little terrified of heels?
Of course not. I mean, I wouldn't be terrified of them, but I'm one who likes to practice at home first before anybody sees me do anything. Just know that I would have practiced heavily and severely in those heels first.
Yeah, I think, you know what? Tay can come over and practice for me. He, you know, he just says some really cool things. He said, now that I'm getting the opportunity, I'm humbled, anxious, excited. I'm impatient. I want to learn everything as quickly as possible so I can just get up that stage and start a living. So I'm glad it worked out. There's been really cool interviews. Sadly, I didn't find the chick who interviewed him in that clip that we played really that good. So he was kind of... and she kept reminding him that he hadn't been on stage in 10 years. Ooh, and I was kind of like, who wants to hear that? Because the man's been in great things. I've seen wonderful great things multiple times with him. So
yeah, he did Wicked.
He did Wicked. Oh, and yeah. I believe you were in. Let's introduce these disembodied voices in the background. We have some of our sophisticated lady folks here. That speaking right now was Dominique Kelly.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, hello. And then we also have the wonderful Abe. Is it Raybold?
It's Raybold, actually.
Raybold. Yes.
But you got the Abe right. I was at the Greater Austin Musical Theater Awards a couple months ago, and I was introduced as A.B. Raybold.
A.B.
Ooh, nice. A.B. Yeah, I guess.
That's a new one.
Like the Irish yeah. Rose.
Usually the last name stumps them, but that was a little odd. Yeah.
Oh. And Matt Shields.
How you doing?
How are you?
Very, very good.
Do you want to say hello to us all? We have our own...
Hey, how's it going? It's Winston Thomas, and I'm PR for Zach Theater.
I was like, Winston, tell us all what you're doing, but that's you did.
So are these the sophisticated ladies, Nicole?
He is. These they are. How'd you figure that one out?
I don't know.
These are some folks that are going to tell us more about that here in a bit. So I'm excited. I can't wait. You know, my little Heine's going back up to see it. Haven't missed... Actually, I've missed Michael C. Hall. And I've had a lot of friends tell me that was a bummer because he was really darn good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but speaking of Michael C. Hall, does anyone know what he's doing next?
No.
I'm really excited about this one, too.
I'm nervous.
David Bowie's new musical.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Wow.
It's entitled Lazarus. And it is based on, you might remember, the novel and the movie that Mr. Bowie himself was in, The Man Who Fell from Earth, or Man Who Fell to Earth.
To Earth.
To Earth. I corrected myself. He is going to be in it. How awesome is this? There are three rock and roll, pop, mainstream, I don't know, whatever kind of artists. I don't like putting people in a category, but people who are not theater people that I've always said should do musical theater. Bowie's one of them. He listened to me. Now, if Justin Timberlake and Prince could just get on the money, well, we'd be good to go. So, yeah, this is kind of exciting. And I love the Guardian's title, There Will Be No Musical Like a David Bowie Musical.
Don't you know?
No, lady, I know. So what's interesting is he's writing original music, but they're also taking a lot of music from the movie, which is none of his music. Ooh. Even though he wrote music for the movie, they didn't end up using it in the movie. So... I don't know. It's very curious.
Whose music is it? Do you know?
It's all sorts of... It's everything that we listen to on the radio from the Mamas and the Papas. Like, it's all over the map. It's wow. It's one of those awesome albums like the soundtrack to Almost Famous that you're like, I know every song and you have a memory associated individually. Mm-hmm. It's that kind of a album. So, and of course, it's that 70s vibe to it, which is... I don't know. I love the 70s, so... I'm kind of really, really excited. They haven't announced a whole bunch. Oh, wait, no. Ivan Van Ho is helping him on it, too. And the gentleman who helped wrote Once is working with him on music and lyrics.
Oh, nice.
I mean, the people behind this is awesome. I think they said in the spring, I don't know where, there's been bits and pieces. They just announced Michael C. Hall joining. And yeah, there's no really dates. But it's happening.
No, I don't think they've announced anything specific. About
workshop that. In December, yeah. And I think in the spring. And I know they've been looking at a few theaters. There's been all this like buzz. But how exciting! Isn't that cool?
That's yes. Very cool.
This is so cool. This is so cool. And I think it's cooler too because it's going to bring other people to the theater that have never experienced theater, and I am totally for that. The people in the seats. I just realized I never asked you how you were today, Kieran, Tracy, or Alex. And Lisa always asks me, and I have it on the script. So quickly, let me give a shout out to Kieran Hunter, our apprentice. And Kieran, how are you?
I'm much better now that you're talking to me.
Kieran's running the house today on the controls, and they rock.
Yay.
Yay.
So far, so good.
Tracy's giving you a thumbs up from behind. Tracy, you want to say hi? How are you today?
Oh, doing well. Happy to be here. Thanks for letting me join in on your party here.
And thank you for a lovely remix earlier today. I got to give you a shout out. We love that show, and Tracy was engineering today. So thank you. And Alex, how are you?
I'm fine. You might not recognize me. I'm on vacation.
I know. You started vacation this week. Alex and I spent part of the weekend together. We went and saw the Amy Winehouse documentary. But that has nothing to do with theater, sadly. But that would be another great musical, like one of those jukebox musicals.
I'm so there.
That could be like a Johnny Cash Ring of Fire or the Janis Joplin. I could see it. So someone else just needs to listen to me again, because everyone listens to Lisa and Nicole and what we have to say. So, okay. We had an opening. Amazing Grace. Do we know Amazing Grace?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. Amazing Grace is a musical about the man who wrote the song Amazing Grace.
Yes.
Which is he's a very interesting character, a very interesting story. Slave trader who then became a slave, mm-hmm. who then became a Christian-fearing man and redemption and turned around to do wonderful things. And hence this story is made. Fascinating story. I was always kind of like, how are they going to make that 2.5 hours? Apparently they didn't make it so well. I feel bad.
Oh, that's devastating.
Yeah, I know. There wasn't one good review. As Lisa and I like to go check out, Did He Like It? Did He Like It is, they mean of the Ben Brantley from the New York Times, but they pull other reviews in there, and then they have the little dude with the thumb up on the fence or down or blah. They were all blah.
That makes me sad because I have a lot of friends working on it.
Yeah. I have to tell you, when I look at the pictures and the imagery, it's stunning. They also, you know, it was weird because even though a lot of them were saying these awful things, they still said nice things because I think it's such amazing content and so timely and everything going on. And, you know, New York Times, Charles Isherwood wrote, "The timing is fortunate for Amazing Grace, a Broadway musical about the unusual life story of the man who wrote the lyrics for the classic hymn. President Obama ended his stirring eulogy for the Reverend Clementa C. Pinckney, a victim of last month's gruesome killings in a South Carolina church, by singing the song, a last-minute inspiration that made for an affecting viral moment, a year and more of disturbing racial violence." So it keeps going on, and it says how the Newton's tale is indeed noteworthy and maybe even amazing. The musical itself unfolds as an overstuffed history lesson, trimmed in melodrama, with a standard-issue romantic subplot and some dutiful attempts to explore the lives of slaves, although the focus remains squarely and maybe a little uncomfortably on the British characters.
I'm going to steal the phrase, trimmed in melodrama.
You know, trimmed in melodrama, just that's not what you really
want
to hear with the... I felt bad. And then I printed out more reviews and I'm like, I just can't go there. I just don't like that. So I'm going to, you know, you can choose your own. But there was some cool, choose your own opinion. I bet
if you saw it, there would be some amazing moments
in
it,
right? I'm still curious. Yeah, when I was home...
Incredible performers.
And I made the comment when I was home in June, I had kind of been like, yeah, whatever. And then I saw the commercials when I was home in June. And I called Lisa and went, this looks awesome. And I actually got really excited. So I can't go based on, hey, I seem to like a lot of things other people don't. But different strokes for different folks. That's what makes the world go round. So, but Broadway.com has this really cool little timeline that they did with pictures about how the story begins. And basically, you can get how funny it is from the title. Gotta Have Faith. How a shipwrecked slave trader inspired a cop to create Broadway's Amazing Grace. Yes, I'm going to leave it at that. We'll post that article. And then you can find out more about it at offstageonair.com. I'm kind of sad about this, and I'm even more sad because Lisa's not here. Lisa and I both love Fiddler on the Roof. Lisa really loves Fiddler on the Roof. And sadly, Theodore Beagle died, who was an original member of Sound of Music and Fiddler on the Roof. 91. So he had an awesome life. It's still sad. Anytime you keep losing people in a community that has, with big pieces like that, that has such resonance on so many different people's lives and stories and moments, It's a bummer.
And he played that for a long time, didn't he?
Yeah, and many I want to say, I don't remember, there 2,000 times.
Wow.
I don't have the dates, but 2,000 times is a lot of times. So hats off to you. I am sorry, Mon Frere. Okay, Spring Awakening. We know about this new production?
Deaf West.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, did you hear who they announced to join the cast yesterday?
Marley Matlin, right?
Yes, very good. Dominique.
A friend of mine is choreographing it. That's how I know.
Oh, that's Spencer exciting.
Liff. Spencer Liff.
Nice.
And how would you know Spencer?
Spencer and I came up on the B-Way together. And when I moved to L.A., I didn't see him for a little bit. And when I got to do the Oscars, Rob Ashford choreographed it. And Spencer was helping him choreograph it. So it was nice to be reunited with him.
Okay.
That's and I really worked cool. with Spencer when he was 7 because I did the first national tour of Will Rogers' Follies. And Spencer was the swing on the show.
Which is, we talk about swings all the time. It is the hardest job. And people don't learn enough about him. And we love to talk about the swing. So that's even cooler. Spencer was a swing. Well, shout out Spencer because we know you're listening right now. And that's okay. He can get our podcast later. We're available on iTunes and Stitcher. Offstage on air. So, Spring Awakening, Marley Matlin. Again, I think this is so awesome. I saw the original production. This seems so different. The video, has anybody watched any of the video from the Deaf West production or any of the footage? There's
just quick
little
clips.
Clip. Yeah. Quick. Sounds fascinating. Looks fascinating. I'm excited. It's going to go in the Brooke Atkinson after It Should Have Been You, which will close on August 9th, and then it'll go in there. So that's exciting. So, Alex, I'm going to talk about this for you because this does not excite me.
The Wild Party.
You got it.
Well, I don't think it's probably going to take the world by storm either.
Which, let me just make a point, I saw Mr. Taye Diggs in this.
In this.
With the Idina. But I saw this Andrew Lipa version off Broadway. Because then there was the other version at the same time with the Eartha Kitt.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, you know, I'm just sentimental about it because I saw it as the movie, which is a wretched movie from the 1970s that starred Raquel Welch, who cannot sing.
It's like poor
in a
thing.
Singing role, and James Coco. They sort of did a take on Fatty Arbuckle. It's not really in the script, but that's the way they did it. And Perry King.
See this.
That was the first time I ever saw him, and he makes his appearance naked. So here I'm at the drive-in in my high school in 1975. And this naked guy is on screen for the first time in my life. So, wow. So I've had a sentimental attachment.
To the Wild Party.
To the Wild Party ever since then.
You know, what's interesting is there was, thank gosh, there used to be two versions that competed with each other last time it was done. So this time there isn't, which I think is a good thing. But they were two totally, completely different things. They followed, even though it was from following the same poem and short piece, they just went down two totally different paths. The way the music entered, there was pros and cons to both, but this one is has in it one Sutton Foster,
yeah,
and my she man from my Jersey town, Stephen Pasquale, Mr. Neighbor, and some other people. I don't know. You know what? I didn't think she was that good in the clips I've seen.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, I felt like I don't know if it's vocally just in a weird spot for her, which I just don't see that Sutton. She can go all over the map, or maybe she's just vocally tired from time. It sounded vocally tired, and it was kind of,
It was a little thin, wasn't it?
Yes. Now, it was a few clips I saw. So again, I cannot judge anyone. But it did not make me excited.
No.
Like, The Amazing Grace made me excited. So, go figure. But, I don't know. I think it's kind of cool.
I love that 20s look.
People are loving it, and they've been media darlings. It's been in the news everywhere. There was something I had on it, but I have lost it. I don't know where it is. But then I love that, boy, since The Color Purple is opening in London right now, before it opens back on Broadway. Mm-hmm. God, that is such a great show. Jennifer Hudson's already doing press on it. I was like, way to get ahead of the game, people. Yes, I mean, that's December. We're rolling into town. But she's already talking and on and on and on about how hard Broadway is. It's the hardest thing to do. Oh, my goodness. I had no clue. Whoa. I was like, well, yes, lady. But I think she'll be awesome.
Oh, I think that's the most exciting thing.
I'm so excited. I was excited when I saw it last time. And I was even more blown away with everything that I could have ever thought with it. I sat with R. Kelly.
No
and
way.
I saw it. Yes, I did. I did Hennessy shots with him during intermission. And I did ask him if he was trapped in a closet. And he laughed at me. I'm sorry, but you know, you put that content material out there, you're going to get... I could have asked a lot of other things and
you
not
sure
have
could
been...
You sure could
have.
He got off easy with that one.
So, you know why? And he found it amusing and we had a Hennessy in between. But yes, isn't that kind of weird? I turned around and I'm
Hennessy,
like...
I like that.
Well, that's what he drank. I asked, what can I get you? I felt...
So now we know.
I felt a little schmuckish. So I was like, can I get you a shot?
Are you predicting that he's going to do the next musical?
R.
Like
Kelly?
Other predictions with David Bowie?
I don't know. He actually could do some really good stuff.
Yes.
I find musicians that cross over into the theatrical world, I find it fascinating what goes through their brains. I find it fascinating when an actor can play an instrument, because that's it's juxtaposition going the other way. But then when a musician, because a musician is so free form, and it's kind of free form like dances in a way, as I'm looking at you, Matt.
Yeah.
But then you got a cue and you have all these other things that don't have when you're playing a set. So
Bump and Grind the musical.
Yes. Bump and Grind. Mm. Yep. So when these worlds cross over like this, I love it. I just do. So speaking of that, there's a musical on Dusty Springfield.
No way.
You didn't know that?
No.
Oh, yeah. Sadly, I feel like it has the curse of Rebecca, the musical.
Who's playing Dusty Springfield?
I don't know. Well, here's what's bad. They already pushed back. It's going to be in London. They already pushed back the opening night. It extends its limited engagement. Well, obviously, because its opening night was supposed to be June 3rd. And it was supposed to close on August 22nd. But they're now not opening it till September 7th. So I'm going to say, yeah, of course you push back the date. So I don't really know what's going on. The cast includes Ellie Ann Lowe as Mary O'Brien, Francesca Jackson as Nancy, Stuart McChaney as DJ Dave Dean, Bean Toddley as Johnny Franz, Leo Elso. I don't know. It goes on and on and on and on. These are a lot of names I can't pronounce, too. I'm so sorry, cast of Dusty. So there was another off-Broadway musical. I think it was called Forever Dusty. And it was in 2011,
2012. Oh, that recent.
Yeah, it was pretty recent. I'll have to find something on you in that. But I don't know. Love the Dusty Springfield. I'll
Absolutely.
Find that interesting. So my final piece of news is Broadway.com decided that shouldn't Broadway show tunes have music videos?
Yes.
So they enlisted one Christian Borle, who I believe you have a connection with too, and we'll talk about that later on. One Christian Borle to make a video for one of the numbers from Something Rotten. So he made a video to It's Hard to Be the Bard. And we're going to have to put it online on our website. It is hilarious. And I'm saying, please do make more music videos like this. It starts off with him. I mean, he's playing the bard throughout. Well, you know, William Shakespeare, he's playing it throughout the show, but he's kind of playing Christian Borle playing the bard. And you see him, the show ending, you see him going off stage. He's got a white t-shirt that he's ripped the sleeves off to kind of make a tank top and a leather jacket and an Elizabethan collar. And big, like, sunglasses on, like dark shades. He looked very good in it. And he gets out the backstage door, and he's high-fiving fans on the street, and he's cruising down the street, and it goes into It's Hard to Be the Bard, and he'd rather take selfies instead of being oil-painted by the dude on the corner. It's William Shakespeare, and there's SpongeBob is in it. It is so cleverly done. And we're going to play a little bit of that. I know there's actual cast recording, but this is an audio bite from the video, so you can pretend like you're watching the video in your head.
My days are so busy.
Ooh, we are back. So now I'm going to talk a little bit about some sophisticated ladies. Mm-hmm. Let's reintroduce our group here. We have here Abe Reibold.
Reibold.
I'm going to say Reibold. You know what it is? Okay. You know when you tell yourself something...
It's all good.
Rye. I'm going to write it rye, like bread, like rye in New York. Hello.
Yeah.
Abe Reibold. Reibold, yes. Who you are the director of this production of Sophisticated Ladies, but you are also
The associate artistic director at Zach.
Okay. I couldn't remember the... I'm like, oh, gosh. Associate artistic director. Well, welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. And Dominique Kelly.
Yes. Hi.
Hello, Dominique. And you are a choreographer, correct?
I am.
Awesome. There's a lot of awesome dancing in this show. And I'm going to shoot to one of those awesome dancers over here, Mr. Matt Shields.
How you doing?
Hello. And you are dance captain and a tap soloist or featured dancer?
Yeah, that's right.
Did I get?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, okay, cool. Yes. Well, hello and welcome. This is so exciting to have you guys here. I think Alex said he saw a touring production of Sophisticated Ladies.
Back in the 80s at Palmer, which if anybody remembers that, was the worst place on earth to see a show. And I think it had Nell Carter in it.
Which I was like, okay, wish I was there at that one. Yes. That's kind of awesome. But I think this is the first time someone in Austin has actually produced and done this show. Is that correct?
That's correct.
That's kind of exciting and kind of shocking. So for people who have been living under a rock since 1981, would someone like to tell them a little bit about what this show is about? Because I think it leads back to what we were just talking about, musicians.
True. I mean, it's a celebration of Duke Ellington's...
Hear, hear.
Yeah, it's there's no plot. It's not a bio review at all. There's no one playing the Duke. It's really just a theatrical expression of his music. And it's, you know, the best musical theater has to offer: singing, dancing, acting, stagecraft, gorgeous costumes, beautiful scenery and lights. It's a party, really.
The music, and it is so great. And it was funny when After Midnight was on Broadway, I was in the audience and we watched it and I was like, God, it's so good. And why isn't anyone doing Sophisticated Ladies? And I guess you and Dave heard me.
Yeah.
And, that's right.
Yeah.
And, sure, but it was just so, I mean, that show was awesome.
Well, Dave saw that show in New York.
But this show has really cool dancing. Yeah. Dave and I always end up going to the same shows.
Yeah,
it's so funny. And then we bump into each other.
But the rights weren't available. And so he said, well, let's go back to the original Ellington Review.
Which I think is awesome.
Yeah.
So, tell me a little bit. Dominique, you have a very interesting background, and I know I alluded to Christian Borle and other stuff. When I was pulling the show together and I was putting names with faces, I saw your name. I saw your face, and I went, was he that darn pirate in Peter Pan Live that I loved? And I literally had to look you up, and I didn't go to the Internet Broadway database. I had to go to IMDb, and I went, well, gosh darn, he was. And then you got me more excited. You were in the version of Lip Sync Battle that was my favorite with Anne Hathaway.
Yes.
I don't like Anne Hathaway.
She's
I fell in love with her doing the Miley Cyrus Wrecking Ball and flicking. I was like, okay, this girl, I kind of like her now.
How can you not?
How can you not? That's been my favorite episode of Lip Sync Battle, by the way.
Thank you. I'm glad you like my work.
So, but it's totally, totally random that I was kind of like, oh, this and that. But so you were in Wicked. Were you in it when Tay filled in when Norbert was out for a while?
No. I think he came in after me. I did it 10 years ago, ironically, 10 years ago. And I did it with the great Shoshana Bean and Megan Hilty.
Nice.
Ooh.
Yes.
Were absolutely amazing in that show. Like, it was a dream cast. It was so much fun.
So how did Abe over here rope you into coming down to work on Sophisticated Ladies here at SAC?
Well, ironically, I think it goes back to Peter Pan, because when I was doing Peter Pan, a friend of mine that I like to call Grandma, even though he's a male, but his name is T. Oliver Reed, and he was just doing a show at Tuts. And while we were doing Peter Pan, he was like, can you just send me your stuff? And I was like, sure, if somebody asks to send you your stuff, you're going to do it. And then not too long after, I started hearing from Abe asking me, you know, if I was available for Sophisticated Ladies. And
it was a recommendation.
That's awesome.
But luckily, Dominique has a lot of stuff you can look up. I'm sure you've seen online.
Oh, yes.
Your name was very familiar and I had to think about it. And then I was like, okay, I know who this cat is. Honestly, I mean, I'm saying this sincerely. You're in the world of the Savion Glovers.
Yes.
I mean, you played the same role that the man did and went over to London to do it, correct?
Not London, touring Europe.
Yes.
Yes.
I knew who you were from then, and I went, wait a minute. So hats off to you.
Thank you
for that, because Matt, you will learn this here in a moment. Tap is my favorite form of dance.
Well, it should be everybody's.
It is awesome. And it makes me so upset. It's kind of like jazz, like the Duke Ellington and the Amy Winehouse that we spoke of. There's not a lot of... And you know what? This goes with Dale Watson's and Ameripolitan and stuff like that. And he's an actor, equity actor, mm-hmm. who's a musician also. Mm-hmm. Some of these genres are dying arts where we don't see young people coming in and really taking to it. So I think it's so exciting when you do see young people out there going, no, this is really cool. You can still do this. This isn't grandpa's stuff. It's awesome. And I think Sophisticated Ladies is a great show.
Well, I mean, for
old
me
and young audiences.
Oh, absolutely. But getting back to Finding Dominique, when I was looking at choreographers for this show, I was worried because think about how many styles of dance are in this show. Right. And finding someone who, you know, there's show tap and then there's the kind of tap that Dominique is able to pull out of the dancers and what Matt does. It's a very different world. So finding someone who understood the rhythm tap and.
Well, when you have Matt, the Tommy Tune of Austin.
Oh, yes.
You really are. You really, really are. You're just a shorter version. I don't think any of us are going to ever be that tall. So,
okay. I'll tap on stilts, but, you know, it's cool. I'll pull up real, real big.
That has to be, I mean, when you put these two together,
yes.
Plus, I mean, we're not even talking about the rest of the cast right now. We're only talking about two people in here.
Right.
Why don't you tell folks a little bit about who else is in the show?
Well, dancing along with Matt in a big feature in Act Two is Tony Merriweather. And Matt and Tony danced together at Tapestry when Matt was with that company and Tony still is. And we also have starring in the show, Jennifer Holliday, which was such an exciting thing to happen. I mean,
another Texas girl. And she's had a great relationship with Zach. She's been she's done some shows there before, too. So,
yeah, she produced a concert of hers years ago. And Dave's been trying to get her back ever since. And this was the show that just resonated with her. So we were very lucky to get her on board. But I mean, it's an embarrassment of riches. Chanel Haynes Schwartz. I mean, she's this
amazing,
incredible. The audition. Watch out. Tell the audition story when.
So
she walked in.
She walked in, and all of a sudden she starts singing, and I turn to Abe, and I was like, I know that voice. Where do I know that voice from? And I'm trying to compare her voice, you know, to different people, but then as soon as I realized she was in one of my favorite gospel groups when I was younger, Trinity 5-7, and from then on, I was like, okay, so we need to get her.
Yeah.
She's absolutely amazing.
And
that
then
always happens. Hold on 1 second, because we have to play a legal ID, or it's just not cool.
So, we have to pick the magic number.
Oh, and there's a magic number that goes before that. So, Dominique, I'll let you pick a number between 1 and 42.
Let's do 21.
21. Hi,
I'm Lucy Arnaz, and you're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby, Austin.
Ah, very exciting. Sorry, I didn't. Did you hear who it was?
No, I didn't.
You picked Lucy Arnaz.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, look at that. Woohoo! So we haven't heard that one in a while. So awesome. So please, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you like that.
No, that was pretty much the end of it. Mm-hmm. I was just floored by her ease in her skill and who she studied as some of my favorite singers like Sarah Vaughan and Ella Fitzgerald. And she could list and like she loves the way Dorothy Dandridge moves. And I was like... Abe, I think we need to try to fight for her. So,
yeah,
a great
that's
move.
Awesome. All right, I got this new book. It's called The Broadway Musical Quiz Book.
It is hard.
It is really hard.
Hit
but
us.
It's broken into decades, composers, dancers. I just quickly was like, there's no index to look up shows. I was like, well, I wonder if there's one for Sophisticated Ladies. So I quickly went to the 80s. And ironically, there was. So I'm going to see if you gentlemen may know the answer.
I hope I know it, because that would be
actually
horrible.
This one was one I kind of had an idea on it. Some of these are multiple choice, and I think they make the multiple choice so hard.
Mm-hmm.
But this one was just an answer, not a multiple choice.
Ooh, good luck.
So, following 1978's Ain't Misbehavin' and Ubi, reviews that celebrated the work of Fats Waller and Ubi Blake came 1981's Sophisticated Ladies. This show paid homage to Duke Ellington, featuring 35 of his hits in a gorgeously produced setting with a phenomenal star power. They're talking about Zach. They knew about the future. Gregory Hines led the pack, ably backed up by Judith Jameson, Phyllis Hyman, and Hinton Battle, among others. What happened to Hines in the show's Washington, D.C. tryout?
Did he hurt himself?
Dun, 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 dun.
I have not a clue.
Yeah, no idea.
When the show reached Washington, Hines was fired for speaking out against the revisions that were made in Philadelphia, but then was hastily rehired when the understudy didn't know the revised changes and the entire cast threatened to walk out. It took a frantic manhunt to track him down.
Look at
Go ahead, Greg. Go ahead, Greg.
That's brilliant.
We didn't mean it. We really didn't mean it.
And it made me laugh that I was like, I think I'm going to share that one. And ironically, the next question is a Dream Girls question because the year Sophisticated Ladies was written, 1981, was the same year Jennifer Holliday made her Broadway debut in the amazing role that we all know so well, Effie in Dreamgirls. So
it's meant to be.
It's kind of cool how it all intertwines. So, Matt.
Yes, ma'am.
You have something really cool for us today.
I think I do.
Matt brought in, I guess it's your board, your traveling board. What would you technically call that?
That's just like, you know, like the travel board, you know, the one that fits in the trunk, little like to-go tap station.
Yes, the to-go tap station. He brought his to-go tap station so we could get a little treat of the tapping. So we are moving. We may have to move your board a bit. Tracy, what do you think?
That should be good. This
is good. We break the fourth wall here and let people into the excitement of the back. You can hear that, right? That was so cool.
That just sold a few tickets.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. That was awesome. And Dominique, did you get video of that?
I took an ussy.
What's an ussy?
Instead of a selfie, I had us all in the picture.
Oh, I like that.
You know, social media, you got to keep up with the kids.
I don't know if a woman in her 40s should be saying ussy, but I am. I will.
Say it again.
Ussy. Okay, that was really kind of cool. So hang on for a moment. We're going to come back and talk. We're going to play a little song, little break. Just come back from give a local highlight for a second, and we're going to talk to you more.
You ain't been blue.
Hello. So that was a little Duke Ellington. You know, there is no cast recording. It's Sophisticated Ladies.
Really?
I can get one for you.
Oh, well,
well,
hey, where were you in my phone when I was trying
to put
stuff
together?
I'm so sorry,
I could have sent you an
MP3.
There actually is a cast recording. I don't know why you couldn't get it.
Yeah.
I think the licensing company sent it out, so I don't know if they're selling
it. It's like what they did with The Rink years ago, my favorite Candor and Ed musical. It was unavailable, and unless you had, like, I had a bad LP from 1970 that I had to put on the, you know, the record player and put a little cassette tape. I was still doing cassette tape. So, but I think that only became digitally available or reissued in the last few years. You know, they should just make every Broadway show available for anyone at all times.
I agree.
If we want it, we should be able to get it.
Free.
I sound very American. Ooh. No. You're going to get artists yelling like at you internet. On that one.
I'm sure some of your listeners would be able to hook you out with bootlegs of a lot of shows.
Don't do that. Don't do bootlegs. Yeah. Bootlegs hurt artists.
We'll have to talk about this offline. I worked years ago on the Artists Against Piracy campaign in New York years and years ago in the music industry. We'll have to have an offline conversation. Very interesting. But yes, I did entertainment music PR in New York. So I could tell you some interesting stuff, but let's not talk about that. Let's talk about Sophisticated Ladies.
Let's.
Over at Zach. So this is in the lovely and beautiful Topfer Theater.
Topfer. Yeah.
I'm just going to say tomato, tomato. I can't say anything correct today. You ever have that happen when you try to say something and the harder you tell yourself and then you just say it wrong over and over and over? But I can say Sophisticated ladies? No, I'm just kidding. Ha, ha, ha. Just kidding. I knew it. Sophisticated ladies. So it's in that lovely theater. And we were talking offline when the song was playing earlier. I mean, this show's really cool because it isn't just singing heavy or music heavy or dance heavy. It's really equal, and everything gets its moment where it's highlighted, from every single artist to musician. And it's just a really awesome ensemble piece. So yeah. How many people are in this ensemble?
It's 16 total. And then we have a 10-piece band.
Ooh, yeah. Nice. And they're on stage.
They are.
Yeah.
They
live on stage.
And our musical director also sings and plays. And
why
ducks.
Don't you give a shout out to our musical director?
Brian Whitted. Oh, man. Yes. When so he great. Walked in the door in New York, we were so grateful, because that was something that we really wanted to try with the show. Because I don't know if in the past they've had the conductor's usually sort of been in the back.
I think it's always been in the back. I don't remember, but from what I've seen, I think it's been kind of back there.
Right. So we wanted to feature him a little bit more, and when he walked in, it was like, thank you, theater gods.
Well, doesn't it make it, I mean, this is supposed to be like being in the Cotton Club, so doesn't it give it more of that feel with having the conductor right front and center like that?
It's so much fun getting to like be able to put your hand on his piano, to like put your hand on his shoulder, to really look in his eyes, and like to interact with him is special. He has some really beautiful moments in the show. He really it's a very consistent focal point for the audience and for the dancers. From my perspective, it's great to have him there. He plays. He's not the same every night. It's like he's very interactive, and it's wonderful.
Which is the beauty and the magic of theater. That's so awesome. So this is a show. If folks saw it and then someone, you know, they had someone come in town or they were talking to someone, they'd be like, yeah, I'll go see it again, because it's not the same thing.
Nope.
No, it's really not the same thing, because it's like going to a concert and seeing Justin Timberlake. He's never the same every night. Exactly. You never know what's going to happen. Now, with that, great choreography. With that, does the audience react a lot? Because this is music that they're very familiar to. You know, sometimes that happens where the audience likes to sing, or I don't want to say break the fourth wall, but you get more reaction where the audience feels like they're more in a concerts, so to speak, than a theater, so they're a definitely. Little more reactionary.
Definitely. People are calling out from the audience.
Yeah, there you go.
And they're... Yeah.
Are they giving you song requests?
No. I haven't gotten to that one yet.
Cigarette lighter.
I heard someone yell encore the other night. That felt kind of good.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I'd like to sit in the audience and experience what they're experiencing while I'm watching the show. And as soon as the song starts, they know exactly what it is. They know the words to it. I mean, they won't necessarily sing along, but you see everybody putting their arms around their significant other and swaying to it, or putting their arms in the air. And it's so great to see, from like kids who are 7 years old to adults who are 70, everybody's affected by the music and the singing and the dancing that's going on up there. And that's the whole thing. That's what Duke would love, is to bridge the gap amongst everybody.
Yeah. So I would, this is what I was going to let our listeners know too. This is G-rated. Everybody could go.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. That is awesome. So, I lost my train of thought. Oh, that's not really good when you're on air live. Yeah, I had a question for you, and I...
Well, we had two little girls who were at the show the other day, and at intermission, someone got a little video of them from the cast, of them just twirling and dancing and just like in the lobby, because they were so affected by it, you know?
That's really
kind of what you want.
Yeah, that is awesome. Quickly, Alex.
Yes, Nicole.
I'm going to cut to other local stuff for a moment. You have a local show to highlight?
You know, I do, because, you know, when I'm not on vacation, my job is working at Austin Shakespeare, right? So I've got to plug some people who work with Austin Shakespeare but are in another show. Seven Towers is doing a production of Closer right now.
Yes, and I think...
Suzanne Balling, David Boss.
I think we have a few of them on next week, but I don't know who.
So I want to plug that's at the Doherty through August the 2nd.
Oh, so that's, I was about to say, I know they were already in run and it wasn't running super long. I chose one quick one. I had a music one and it disappeared. All right, well, we'll do this one then. I always bring a backup just in case. Well, the Way Off Broadway Community Players are doing Blazing Guns at the Roaring Gulch. It's their fundraiser that they do, and it's a melodrama. And I love melodramas because they crack me up. People don't do those enough either. So that's running through August 8th at the Way Off Broadway's Community Players in Leander, and the website wasn't working for me, so nowplayingaustin.com has that information. And quickly, I will give you Today in Theater History. Dun, 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 dun. 1998, Conundrum happened at the revival of Cabaret at the Kit Kat Club. This is before the Studio 54 venture. Blair Brown was scheduled to take over the role of Fraulein Schneider, but then the Times Square had that big, giant construction accident, is what they wrote. It was the brick that went flying through the wall. I was a block away when it happened and saw it all go down. It just was not a construction accident. Buried people in their apartments. But anyway, it deprived Tony nominee Mary Louise Wilson of her final performance that night. It also kept the show from performing with multiple other shows in New York. And then it had to also shut down because they were getting ready to close. It was just conundrum after conundrum. They were getting ready to, like, move. So it didn't reopen until August 20th. And Brown did come in, and there was a new Sally Bowles, Jennifer Jason Leigh. So neither Wilson or Natasha Richardson was able to ever give a farewell performance. Bummer and wrong. So,
but Blair Brown rocked.
Blair Brown did rock. I saw that. That was good. In 2003 is when the Roundabout Company closed the deal to buy Studio 54 and took it over and had those lovely things in the cabarets below. And for the Lisa, 2004 was Mr. Esteban returning with his hit, The Frogs. Esteban Stevens on time.
Got it.
We just call him Esteban. Sadly, in 2008, Mrs. Del Getty passed away. I felt like it was only a year or two ago. Can you believe it was 2008?
Wow.
Some birthdays today are Danny Glover, Alan Menken, which they renewed Gallivant. It's coming back.
Uh-oh.
Yes. I know. Kind of excited. So bad, it's so good. John Leguizamo, Adam Cooper. And here's one more thing in Today in Theater History. There's a reason why I chose this song. One of my favorite little off-Broadway shows opened in 1999, Naked Boys Singing, a comedy review whose title says it all.
Let's give a cheer, we're naked boys singing.
That was the opening number, Naked Boys Singing. So, I was just letting the audience know, they're pretty covered. If you think you're going to Le Bear, it's not what's going on. It's actually a really, really good show. I enjoyed it a lot. I think it moved theaters. It closed for a while and reopened again, but it is playing in New York. Should you be interested, nakedboysinging.com. So, sophisticated ladies. I'm going to say there's no naked boys singing in Sophisticated Ladies.
No, there's some handsome boys singing, but...
There are some handsome boys singing. Yeah. So, I got to ask you, so how do you pick a favorite song? I mean, first of all, Duke Ellington has a lot of songs, and there are 34 numbers in this show?
There's
so, how do you pick a favorite song? Do you have a favorite song?
Yes.
Yes. Right. Okay.
I have one.
Tell me, Matt, what is yours?
Actually, my favorite is the way Brian sings Everything But You. And then Chanel does a version of In a Sentimental Mood that will make you reevaluate things.
Interesting.
So I have two favorites, one in the first act, one in the second. And all of Miss Holiday's numbers are pretty fantastic. But I think those two are like my favorite. They move me the most and get me like really focused in the show. I enjoy those moments.
I love when you hear that the performers on stage get moved just as much as the audience.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the audience always gets to hear that. Sometimes the general public feels actors just show up, check out, do their thing, and it's attitude of this and that. And I just, with the stage, I think it's so awesome that the audience understands. Like, they get to know that, we're having these same emotions and moments as you are as an audience member at the same time.
Definitely. Well, everybody has those moments. I couldn't pick one favorite, but everyone in the show, there's moments that I just love. Like Kenny Williams singing Solitude and then Krista dancing that piece as well with him. It's a stunning moment.
And that music is some is quite challenging too. It's deceptively
hard. The intervals are different. Kenny's
the song got Sophisticated some Lady, song. And
that's a difficult one. Yeah,
even Ella Fitzgerald was having a hard time with it. I mean, so you're like, okay, there's a lot of stuff going on in these. It's not just a little simple tune.
Yeah,
it's pretty rich. And
I was kind of, because we did see the Amy Winehouse documentary, and it just, I've had so much jazz in my head and have been listening to so much jazz lately. I've been like, oh, and then you were coming on. So it was all just, this is all so makes sense. Mm-hmm. Do you know, I thought maybe since Amy Winehouse sang so many different artists in clubs live everywhere, I thought I would find a YouTube clip of her singing Duke Ellington somewhere, because she talked about him in interviews constantly. Do you know, I could not find one. I was so bummed, because I was trying to find different artists playing Duke songs to play where you were on, and that's kind of a bummer. I imagine that one. So, but
it's got to be out there.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, I just found it was interesting. Do you have any artists that
is Body and Soul by Duke Ellington? No, that's not a Duke Ellington tune, is it?
I
don't think it is. I know she does a version of that with Tony Bennett, but...
Duke Ellington wrote so many songs. I don't even know, when you're putting together a show like this, how the writers could pick the actual
3,000 songs.
Yeah, how do you get? I would love to be able to pick their brains and say, how do you sit here and listen to a catalog that is as large as this one, and put it all together and say, okay, we're only going to do X, 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 and X. So, how different did you do staging then? I guess if people know the show from New York and you do it here, what's the Zach always says something a little different. There's always a Zach spice. It's like the Emerald Bam, but it's the Zach.
Well, yeah, I think casting was a big part of the show, and trying to match performers to the material as well. And we knew that we didn't want to do a period piece. Like, we didn't want it to feel like we're trying to recreate history. We wanted it to feel very now. We wanted to use, you know, the environments that the Duke inhabited to sort of inspire the design. And, of course, Dominique did his research on the choreography of the time period, but we wanted to have a fresh spin as well.
So you would say it's kind of current street dance along with old school stylized?
Not necessarily. I would just say that in every number, there's at least one thing that's modern. And it may not be the dance step. It may be the hairstyle. It may be the shoe. It may be the approach to the dance style. But I wouldn't necessarily say anything is extra urban in there at all. Because, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. It's just the approach to it has been different. And I have, you know, I put an homage to certain choreographers in there and certain people who've influenced me, and also some of the steps from the original in there. And all of that is sprinkled in there for the people who really, really know. There's another layer for everybody else to go like, oh, I remember that, or oh, I remember this.
You did your own Broadway musical quiz book for sophisticated ladies with your choreography.
Always. But we talked about the numbers as well early on, you know, because how you do things affects everybody in the design. And so we came up with these like stories, and sometimes it was just like, we're just going to entertain. This is going to be flat out just dance for dance sakes. But then we, you know, like Dancers in Love was a number we talked about, and we knew that we wanted it to feel a little bit like a threesome. And it reminded me of that song, She Loves Me Not, from Closer Than Ever, where he loves her, she loves the other guy. It's like everyone loves the wrong, you know,
person.
Yeah, exactly. And Dominic took that and ran with it, and then threw in his homage to Fosse in there a little bit as well. So it's a real...
That's exciting.
So yeah, so there, I think the way the numbers are executed are very different than the original in many ways.
Well, that's awesome. We're out of time. The show's almost over.
What? We just started.
I know. I'm having a good time today, and I'm bummed out that we're not doing our backstage at offstage segment this week, because you guys are fascinating cats to where we get to learn about you and not always about the production that you're on. So I hope you will all come back so we can do that with Miss Lisa. Are awesome.
Thank you.
So thank you very much for coming today. The Zach Theater with Sophisticated Ladies, playing now through August 23rd. Zach Theater, Topfer Theater. Yeah, zachtheater.org for more information. You ain't been blue. That was a quick hour, and I could have talked to Sophisticated Ladies for another hour. But sadly, we have to leave. Tracy, thank you so much for engineering today.
Yay.
Kieran, you rocked the house. You were on it, pushing buttons, making magic happen.
Thank you.
And Alex Alford, thank you for coming in today and being the co-host.
Happy vacation.
I should have explained, everybody's like, where's Aunt Chica? Love that. She left to go on vacation. Alex stayed here to play with me and then is leaving to go to vacation. Just saying. Stand by next for Austin Monitor News. Lisa and I will both be back next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. And Alex, in honor of your Shakespeare, Mr. Austin Shakespeare,
yes.
And in honor of the jazziness that we've been talking about, I chose Kiss Me Kate's Too Darn Hot, but I chose Mel Torme.
Ooh.
I'd like to sup with my baby tonight. Refill the cup with my baby tonight. I'd like to sup with my baby tonight. Fill the cup with my baby tonight. I ain't up to my baby tonight, 'cause it's too darn hot. Too